Welcome to another program of Culture Vulture Art Served, the official radio program for the Mdina Biennale 2015. My name is Melanie Farrugia, and today with me I have some special guests. So, first of all, we have Elisa Martinelli from Artmoor House, and Tanya Burns and Andrew Hancock from Art Naked. And also with us, the usual suspect, Irene Bjolkini, our Facebook page administrator, and she also takes care of Italian artists who will be participating in the Mdina Biennale 2015. So before we start our discussion today, I would like to remind you the theme of the Biennale, which is Christianity, Spirituality, and the Other. And also, please do visit our website, which is www.mdinabiennale.org, and, of course, our Facebook page, where you can keep updated with our events, with what the Mdina Biennale team is up to, and also information about the participating artists and other art news in general. Irene always does a great job to keep us updated. We can start with Tani.
Yes, I'll start then. So I'm Tani Burns. I work with Andrew Hancock, who's over there, and we are together Art Naked, an organisation based in London, doing a lot of different curatorial projects, different sorts of venues, from private members' clubs to sort of temporary exhibitions in gallery spaces. But we're over here with Elisa to put together a project as part of the Mdina Biennale late next year. So that's very exciting. And I'll pass on to Andrew then to fill in the gaps of what I've missed.
we're very happy to be over here working with the Biennale for next year. This is our first point of contribution. We've visited Mdina this afternoon, which is very, very, very great to see some of the places we're maybe installing artworks. In London, we curate artists from around the world in a variety of ways, always very unique to the circumstances in which they're exhibited. And also we create cultural events which are more broad. So we produce theatre plays, we work with official poetry societies to create poetry readings, and with literature and publication companies to work with authors to read their works in public. And one of the other things, we've got a beautiful chess club that we run in the centre of London. But
yes, actually, I saw this on your
cultural
website. I was very curious about it. I was like, chess and art.
It's a cultural sphere. We try and keep a high intellectual format with all the works that we do. And we were really intrigued by the Mdina Biennale, with the strong intellectual concepts that Giuseppe, the director, is bringing to the fair in the way it is being reinvented from merely a Christian and Catholic art fair, and to be something that hosts a universality of thoughts and ideas with the central themes of spirituality and the other, etc.
Yes, maybe these universal aspect, these broader aspect of the Mdina Biennale is also what is closer to your way of organizing exhibition or cultural events that are not only concerned with visual arts, but arts in general. And how everything started?
Okay, hello.
Welcome.
So I am the manager and curator of Artmoor House, and how to describe Artmoor House is a strange, peculiar exhibiting space in the city of London. We organize exhibitions in the foyer of this large Norman Foster building in the heart of the city of London. And we change the exhibition on a rolling basis of we exhibit artists for 1 month. Again, a very different and very, very peculiar space, and that I met through one exhibition that I organized there, Giuseppe, who invited me to participate with the project to Malta Biennale. I used to work with Tanya, and we worked together on the different projects for Artmoor House, and that I wanted to create a strong team to bring strong artistic content to the Biennale and a strong communication as well. And that's why we are here together, I think.
Yeah. So
Elisa's Italian, by the way.
So watch out, we are too Italian.
We are.
So basically, I think that what's very interesting is how the artists that usually exhibit in a very high contemporary space, like the one of Foster, can deal instead with a hyper medieval context as the one, so from hyper modernity or post modernity to medieval, no? How these.
I think the theme sort of. The theme and the change and shift of focus from the sort of strictly religious takes it forward in time, I suppose, to what we're more used to showing in London, definitely. And I've had the experience working in different sorts of fairs and large projects around the world, and it's always very interesting how not only the central fair or event is, you know, very exciting, but the whole culture around it grows, everyone's involved in some way, everyone's interested, but it's always important how all of those activities respond to the place that it's in, and obviously whether it's Hong Kong or Sydney or Medina, it's going to have a different character, and definitely that sort of medieval aspect is the spirit of the place, and any contemporary artists will be working within that in quite a unique way that wouldn't work anywhere else.
Yeah, but I mean, the spiritual aspect isn't very much far removed from, I suppose, a universality of conceptual art. If you look at, I mean, we're very used to seeing international artworks traveling the world and looking at what I suppose is nowadays conceived as an art market. There's a universal aspect to the international art world in which, you know, people such as collectors and curators, visitors, they go from city to city, and there's a lot of big names that keep recurring. But there's a lot of universality about the concepts, in that conceptual art is, in one way, it can be seen as metaphysical, I suppose, mm-hmm. and the themes of the spirituality in the Medina Fair can be drawn out in a sort of abstract way, and sort of integrated with artists who are used to working purely in the conceptual realm, for example. And so they can bring their own materials and their own practices, which are standard towards themselves in particular, and analyse conceptually the particular areas in which they're exhibiting, and their relationship and justification of showing their work within the space, to make them tie in and create something that's both spiritual and also universal at the same time.
Yeah, that's part is really intriguing for me, since the object of my research, as Melanie and others know, is connected with this idea of collectivism and universal art. And I do agree with you. So if I can stress a point out of the three words that compose our theme, so religion, spirituality, and the other, maybe the spirituality is the element that is closer to what we are discussing, these transcendental aspects that is
within. That would be within, a word that I would go straight to when I started looking at this project and meeting with Giuseppe and with Elisa and Tani. We were all getting together around the table and discussing how our involvement would be justified in terms of the energies that we would want to put into to the exhibitions and the artists that we would select to bring.
So it will be a mix of different artists that you will bring. It's not one artist, for example.
We're really at the first stages of seeing the sites specifically. We work with a variety of artists, but we have access in as much as we work with and we know and we are friends with many, many artists, and we would like to be able to bring artwork that would be the most suitable, most appropriate, and artists will be able to engage with the themes that we would create in our specific curation, which would be an idea that we'll be coming up with. We have lots of ideas at the moment, and we have to really nail it on the head. And Elisa has been looking into central themes of the concept of spirituality and drawing that out and to involve the artists that we've been working with in the past, for example.
Yes, the theme that I was thinking to work around and to involve some artists that would be very close to the concept of spirituality. It's creative intuition, which it's based on the cognitive process that an artist has when he or she is creating, and that specific intuition that the artist, in the way that the artist sees reality and can extract information from reality. And this intuition can come from external sources or internal to the artist himself. Therefore, we work with a variety of artists that could be more close to religion concepts and believe that sort of intuition comes directly from God or from a way that God led them to see the world. And in other moments with other artists, it's completely different, very, very far from religion, and they believe it's their own vision of the world, their own way of elaborating information. So that aspect interests me.
So it's a mixture between cognitivism, but at the same time, just the feeling.
Exactly. cognitivism in the artist figure, which is different from, and the way I see, and the way we see, it's very different from other type of figures, other people that work in other sectors, in other things. An artist, to me, has that ability of elaborating information and transferring that information into a work that has to have a value and has to speak about contemporary moment in the future. So historical value is based on that as well for great artworks.
It's a perfect juxtaposition, really, because the artist has... Well, many artists do have a sort of spiritual feeling in the way that they create art. And it's really, they follow their own spirituality or intellect, whichever words you want to call it. And they go through these cognitive processes. And the end result is physical, or it's dynamic, or it is abstract or intellectual. But I suppose each artist, to come within a canon, is almost creating their own religion, sort of devotional aspect of creation. And it becomes like there's a repetition. There is formulas that they adhere to over the years. And as I'm an artist myself, but I initially trained as an art historian. And I think what made me want to become an artist was looking at all the artists in history and realizing that it's their experience, their personal experience, their mental experience, or their historically specific experience that they put through the processes into their art. And that transmits to you as a viewer. If you're open enough as a viewer of art from any age, you can sort of draw feeling from that art piece and gain a sense of spirituality and the times and the thought processes of the artist himself. And really, I think engaging with each individual artist down the ages, looking at them as an art historian, made me see my own cognitive processes. And begin to engage with them with a new rigor, which I now transmit into practice and repetition and extrapolation, in which I create artworks based on these experiences that are new to me, but are obviously they sort of metaphysical. I wouldn't put any particular label on them in terms of God or a thing, although people go through phases, you know, of different belief systems. But I think this is a central theme that runs throughout history.
Yeah. So the last issue of Moose Magazine was dedicated to the artist as a curator. So I think that here you are incarnating both, no? The artist and the curator. So my next question for the three of you is, how do you see your responsibility when you are a curator, or what does it mean for you to be a curator and curate something?
It's interesting that you mentioned the Moose magazine. I can't remember. It's part of a series, isn't it? And it's very interesting how they, every quarter or something, they choose two artists who have curated seminal, important exhibitions that have impacted upon the way we see exhibitions being curated now. I can't think of any that are in there, but obviously you can... I think curation is... It's in the same way that an artist can communicate their own intuitive cognitive processes. It's sort of another step of translating or framing something within a different context each time, really. I think the curator's responsibility is to the artist or artists to communicate sincerely and honestly what has been created, because it can be, you know, meanings, especially with abstract or conceptual works, can be misconstrued or framed wrongly. I would say that, you know, I would feel my responsibility to communicate what is truly meant to be.
Yeah, the curator has to conceive of, engage with, and reformulate and edit all of the different aspects of all of the artists involved, the space, times, politics, and the idea. And
working with many artists can be very difficult.
Like editors, like editors of a newspaper or something. I have to make sure there's a focused sort of consistency of quality and a singular or focused vision, perhaps. And that's something that we're working on at the moment, exactly how to formulate and frame the proposition of the artists that we are putting to the public and how that would be relevant. And that's an important and difficult process, and there's a lot of thought that goes into it.
Yeah, we spoke till now about artists, but as you were mentioning, even the public is one of the central elements, and maybe the most tough one. So another interesting aspect, I think, in your participation in the Mdina Biennale is also to perceive, when you will be here for sure, the differences between London public, the public in London that is maybe more used to some kind of contemporary spaces, and the public here in Malta. I think that even the perception of the artist would be extremely different, and so
This is exactly why Giuseppe's brought us along, bringing the education to the public, but also presenting a face that the public are happy with, and then bringing the world to Malta and showing those together. Is really, I think, would be a fantastic starting point to drive the contemporary arts in Malta. And another thing we're looking to do in the island is engage the wider artistic population, engage with artists and art groups, and we're very happy to be going to meet a variety of people while we're staying on the island, and really getting a sense of what the people want, how they understand art, as you were saying, and what would really excite them as well. And it has to be relevant, but we really want to drive it forward and bring the world to Malta so they can see that this is a place where the contemporary arts can flourish in a new way.
Yes, I agree.
And it would be a unique experience for these people who go from country to country and fair to fair to come to Malta and see an international standard of art in the island, whilst being able to enjoy the unique qualities of Malta and Mdina, and obviously they're going to want to go and see the Caravaggios.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, the participation of Maltese artists will be relevant, and at the same time, I do agree with you that one of the most challenging aspects of this Biennale is also the fact that it is so rooted even in the historical context of Malta. So we are trying to create something highly contemporary, but at the same time deeply rooted in the history and in the tradition of the island. And I think that's one of the elements that can contribute in creating something new. I mean, not just try to create another Biennale. So another Biennale? I don't think so. So maybe
it's almost become a monoculture, international monoculture. You see the same faces,
same artworks, even. But I mean, the three of us have been walking around. You know, today is the first time we've all been in the heart of Mdina together,
and how was?
Yeah. Because there was some venue that really attracted you more than others.
There are many fantastic, historical, incredibly beautiful venues and areas and buildings. We've still got much to explore. However, even being around today, it's the historical weight of Mdina and Malta generally is unavoidable in whatever we're going to curate. So that's something that we're going to be working on very hard and carefully, and making sure that what we curate, what we create is, you know, yes, contemporary, yes, different in the same way that this Biennale will be different from the last, but respectful and not incongruous with the history of the place.
So keeping a harmony between the medieval aspect and the contemporary kind of?
I mean, whether it's harmony or something else, or a dialogue,
I'd like to see some contrast.
You cannot avoid that.
Some scraping, squeaking, jangling sort of disharmony, perhaps.
Or someone running completely naked in the middle of
it. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yes, backwards and forwards, like that old Tate installation a long time ago.
I mean, there are so many fantastic historical paintings and yeah. some really great pieces in Malta that the international community may not have seen. So, I mean, and it's a privilege for us to go to the venues exclusively before the Biennale to see all these spaces that wouldn't be seen by the public ever, but are now being opened to people who want to come and enjoy the work. So I think it'd be really interesting for the international community to come and see the works that are already here in Malta, because people like to seek out treasures of art, and I think Malta has a lot of hidden treasures. And we'd like to put those alongside a really, really hot contemporary art and make something that will be recognised internationally as a place to go looking for, because the Biennale is going to be every 2 years, as the name suggests. So we want people to keep coming.
So you think the artists that eventually you will choose, you will invite them to come to Malta to see the actual venues themselves? How will you tackle it? As in, that you will invite them to see the actual venue, or you will suggest yourself what you wish to have in the venues that you've already seen?
Well, first step, we will obviously suggest ourselves what we would like to see, mm-hmm. and then we will start a dialogue with the artists, and then we probably invite them to come here if it is necessary, because the artist has to feel the presence as well and understand where it is. And some of the artists that I'm thinking about and I worked with have been to Malta many times before, so they do know very well the locations. So with them, I don't think there would be a problem. With others, I think it would
be quite a culture shock coming to Malta. Someone has just lived only in London, for example, coming to Malta is, maybe not what one would expect, perhaps, I don't know.
It's actually the exception to the rule for someone who's always only lived in London.
deeply Mediterranean.
Exactly.
But in a good way, I mean.
No, of course.
When in July Loredana Longo came here, the Sicilian artist, she didn't have any cultural shock.
Sicilian is very similar, but London is quite...
Exactly. No, it was too strange. Coming from Sicily, everything is granted.
Me and Elisa were having a discussion before, she said certain artists are used to do art which is suitable for London people, it would be appreciated, and maybe in Malta it would be seen as very different and very...
For Maltese people, But the Biennale, I think the Biennale is not just for Maltese people.
Of course. And the idea is to have different
to shock everyone.
In a good way.
That's my objective.
You don't want too much harmony, otherwise you won't even see it, It'll be too... if it blends into the background...
You have to produce something unexpected, not just what is expected.
Perhaps wait and see.
What you're saying about, the artist having to... get a sense of the place. Many artists will probably be only used to showing in the kind of, the white cube space, and they're used to seeing their art hung, framed in a certain way, but in which that piece is the one thing that people will be looking at.
And they have a lot of control over.
And they have a huge amount of control over that, whereas this is more different.
To be absolutely a challenge as well, because it's not just a background, it's an extremely important background.
And the dialogue, as you said, whether that's between the place and the work, or the work and another work, is not something you can get away with. There's always going to be a dialogue of some sort.
So we should start concluding very soon. Some of you have any final comment?
I'd like to see work sort of that. Well, it's just thinking that we see so many artists, it would be very interesting just to see a work dropped, almost by helicopter or alien into a space that is so different. Mm. And the artist need not see the space, for example. You know, we can decide that it would be a perfect match.
Yeah.
I'd like to see something out of the ordinary that people will remember, people will notice, and they will take away a really great experience. Alongside all of the other.
Yeah, as Renesha said, the shock. Something very unexpected.
That's the other.
I mean, when Caravaggio did the collection of Battista was quite uncommon, so why to start? I don't want to, to achieve the level of Caravaggio, just, you know, to follow a good path in the art, so do something unexpected.
Avant-garde.
Absolutely, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, one of the great things about being here and working with the Biennale. Most of the time we'll be in London working sort of from behind a desk. And we know lots of people are joining in to be involved in the Biennale. You know, if anyone's out there is interested in getting in contact, maybe even be able to get involved at some level with our project, they should just email us or speak to the Biennale. Ask to speak to us, because we're very happy to engage with the Maltese community on projects like this.
Yes.
So, I mean, if they go to artnaked.co.uk, they could find all our contact details, and don't be afraid to get in touch with us, because we're very happy and open-minded to hear from, you know, people in Malta. I think we're probably going to need a translator or something.
Specifically for the project, for the Biennale.
Yes,
yeah,
I think so, yes.
Just to follow Enrico's point, is I can give you my website is www.artmoorhouse.com, and absolutely within this project would be absolutely good to work with Maltese people if anybody wants to be involved.
Okay, that's a very nice invitation. I'm sure that it will be taken as a very nice, not surprise, but, you know, nice thing by the Maltese artists, I guess, to be able to work with such big organizations in London. Okay, so thank you everyone for joining us today. Thank you Elisa Martinelli, Tani Burns and Andrew Hancock, and Irene Bialchini. I remind you again about our website, www.mdinabiennale.org, and see you next week for another program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.